Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Climate Smart Conversations, a new podcast series for anyone interested in helping build a greener, more sustainable NHS in Wales. My name is Catherine Speedy, and I am a Sustainability Fellow at Health Education and Improvement Wales. In every episode, I will be joined by expert speakers from across Wales, and I look forward to learning from them and hearing more about projects that they have been involved in. This first episode explores why we need to consider sustainability in healthcare and how we could transform healthcare into a more sustainable model. I am delighted to be joined in this episode by our first two guests, who have both shown exceptional leadership in the field of sustainable healthcare. Dr. Fiona Brennan is a consultant anaesthetist in Cardiff and Vale University Health Board. Fiona co-founded the Welsh Anaesthetic Green Network in 2019 and co-founded Green Health Wales in 2021. Fiona is an advocate for collective, compassionate leadership. Dr. Stacey Harris is a paediatrician, also currently working in Cardiff. In 2021, Stacey took a year out of her training programme in paediatrics to be the second Welsh Clinical Leadership Training Fellow in sustainable healthcare. Stacey is an integral part of Green Health Wales and passionate about education. Hello both. Hi, thank you for joining us today. Hi Fiona.
Hi Catherine, thanks for inviting us.
Oh, and hi Stacey.
Hi Catherine, thank you for this opportunity.
So I wanted to start the episode by you both telling us how you became interested in sustainable healthcare and how you come to be in these incredibly important roles that you're both in. So maybe Fee, if we come to you first.
Thanks. Yeah, so I think it all probably stems again from my childhood. So I was really lucky. I grew up on the sunny south coast in Poole, spent a lot of time on the beaches, in the sea all year round. And then I used to spend my summers in Northern Ireland because that's where my sort of family's home was, really. So without realising, I grew up really close to like the two only natural UNESCO World Heritage Sites sort of close to us. As the Jurassic Coast and then the Giant's Causeway, and these were like really like normal places to be. So I think I just fell in love with like the land and our history from a very early age, and just revelled in spending time in like green and blue spaces. So I suppose that's my background. Working in healthcare and then studied anaesthesia. Working quite a sort of artificial environments, kind of felt really against the grain, but yeah, I really enjoyed the job I did. And then in about 2014, had my first child, was getting more concerned about the climate and ecological crisis, felt quite responsible. Suddenly then had two young children in the space of 2 years, and really wanted to do something about it, but didn't know quite where to turn. And then within Cardiff and Vale Health Board, they were developing a future theatre solutions. So they're trying to develop, to design and build a sustainable operating theatre. And I got on board and got involved as the anaesthetic lead for that. And that was really my opener to really opening up this subject, which is enormous and absolutely fascinating. So part of the Future Theatre Solutions project, we knew that anaesthetic gases were like a carbon hotspot. And we realised that to make an impact, we need to reach out to colleagues across Wales. I've been all Wales trainee and decided to reach out to some colleagues across Wales, see if we could develop a network. And we developed the Welsh Anaesthetic Green Network and have achieved some fantastic things amongst these great people since then. I then realised this work took a lot of time and needed people dedicated to it. So I found out about Health Education Improvement Wales Leadership Fellows. So wrote a proposal for a Climate Smart Education Fellow and was fortunate enough to seek funding and get funding. And we've now in our fourth year of a Climate Smart Sustainable Healthcare Fellow. And then they've done some amazing work. Then I heard about a junior doctor, Tom Downs, in Bangor back in about 2019-2020, who was involved with an exemplar project with the Bevan Commission looking at what would it take to create a sustainable network within a hospital, and he was looking at developing a green group within a hospital setting. Connected with him, and we sort of debated what would it look like if we had a green group, multidisciplinary green group within every hospital, what if every speciality had a green network, and what if they all sort of intertwined and worked really well together, what would that look like? And that's where sort of the sort of evolution of the concept of Green Health Wales, a network for sustainable healthcare, came about. And then went on to get involved with helping develop that Green Health Wales network with many other people.
Well, thank you. I'm in awe of your achievements to date, but also grateful for your influence in the development of my role as a sustainability fellow too. So Stacey, coming to you, what's your journey been?
So like Fiona, I was really lucky to be born in a really beautiful place as well, with lots of mountains, lots of greenery. And from a very early age, I kind of fell in love with natural beauty. And then got into medical training in a grey city, actually, and really missed that greenery. But really, my awakening into the climate emergency and climate change and health came when I had my children, much like Fiona. I think that can often be quite a transformative time for people. And I started to realise more and more my impact on the environment and kind of read more around the climate emergency, and you know, started to realize my responsibility in that for my future generations, which were really young at the time. So I actually started making changes in my personal life, doing various things, and also engaged with some climate activism, going on a few different kind of marches to really try and make my voice be heard, because I realised that we needed everybody and as many people involved with this as possible. And I was in paediatric training, you know, being busy with exams and on the conveyor belt. And I hadn't actually made that connection between my personal life and how actually healthcare itself had a really big impact on the climate emergency. But thinking back now, I had always really been interested in sustainable healthcare. I just hadn't actually named it yet. So I was always really interested in staff wellbeing and started lots of wellbeing projects in various departments that I was in. I was getting a lot of moral injury around the waste that we had in our kind of departments. That's staff waste and also waste of resources. I can remember really vividly around the coronavirus 19 pandemic, you know, taking off multiple times loads of PPE and just putting it into the bin. That was really not a pleasant experience. And also from a kind of a leadership point of view, I was just more and more realising that our healthcare system wasn't sustainable in so many ways. And then I'd always wanted to do the Welsh Clinical Leadership Fellowship, and I saw the advertisements and saw the post that Fiona had designed and read it and was like, oh my goodness me, this is exactly what I want to do. This fits me so well. It was like a full body yes. It was quite unbelievable, really. And so I applied, and it was my first choice, and luckily I was able to get it. And it was just such a wonderful year where I was really able to be really myself and play to my strengths. I was able to really explore what sustainable healthcare meant, what it meant to me. Did a lot of systems convening, connecting with people, did a lot of medical education of both medical students, leaders in the system, and also lots of other people, and was involved with working on Amarantha, who was the first Welsh Clinical Leadership Fellow, and some of the other people who started Green Health Wales to kind of develop that even more. That's where how it all came about, and yeah, like Fiona said, lots of doors opening, and I really, really enjoy this work. It really lights my fire. It really I really need to do it. It's something that I think, yeah, my soul wouldn't be the same without.
I like that, Stacey. And, you know, again, I think your work in this area already, you know, has been so influential and important. And, you know, I have a lot of respect and admiration for both of you, and so grateful that our paths have crossed. And I think, you know, both of your journeys really resonate with mine in terms of that sort of love and concern for the environment that was instilled at a really young age, and then becoming a mother and, you know, sort of really being concerned about the impact on the future generations, and then having that light bulb moment of actually, you know, what's happening within the NHS and how that could be different, and, you know, hopefully creating a more climate smart healthcare system. So kind of moving on from that, I think, and maybe to try and kind of expand on that a little bit and just think maybe a bit more about kind of why this is important to healthcare professionals, and why healthcare professionals, you know, should learn more about this and, you know, should become involved. So I think, Fee, if we come to you first.
Yes, I think if we think about the NHS, yeah, unfortunately at the moment it is very unsustainable in its current form. I love the NHS and I want to see it carry on far into the future, but currently we've got enormous workforce issues, financially completely strapped, and environmentally we create a burden. So in about 2018, Arup worked with Healthcare Without Harm, a global organisation, to try and map what their carbon footprint is. Carbon in inverted commas, because this isn't just about carbon, this is about an environmental impact. It's just the way we measure things. And if the healthcare sector were a country, it would be the fifth largest emitter on the planet. So it would release the emissions of a country about the size of Japan. And so, yeah, we're in the healthcare business. We want to promote health, but actually we're causing a burden. So we're fueling our own problem. If you think about healthcare actually contributes about 20% to our overall health, whereas the rest of our health really is determined by our social determinants of health. You know, the families we grow up in, our loving support, the food we get given, all that nurturing, and our schooling, our education. And then underlying that is our basic environmental health. And that means clean air, clean water, clean land, soil to grow our food in. And currently, we're in a climate and ecological emergency. So for me, that means we've got climate change. Our world is heating, and that's affecting everything. We've also experiencing an enormous biodiversity loss. And also we've got widespread pollution. So we need to focus on all those three elements, and we need clean air, we need clean water, and we need good soil to be able to grow food to feed almost 10 billion people. And so we're in a bit of a negative spiral, and we need to unspin that, and we need to use the basics of principles of sustainable healthcare, which we'll probably talk about in a bit to redesign that.
Thank you. And of course, I don't think listeners will be able to see us as nodding away there, particularly when you're talking about, you know, our love for the NHS. And, you know, actually, this is very much all about making the NHS better. Stacey, did you want to kind of add a little bit more maybe about how this maybe is relevant to Wales specifically and what's happening here?
Yeah, thank you, Catherine. Thank you, Fee, for that. So when we think about the climate and ecological emergency, it can often feel like something that's happening far away from us. And we think, you know, I how is it really affecting me and my community? But Public Health Wales have done lots of work around this. They've got lots of different resources to check out. And I just thought I'd talk about some of the things that they have reported. And it's quite staggering, really, and it can be a little bit scary as well. So they've predicted that by 2050 in Wales, annual temperatures are projected to rise by 1.2 degrees. And then summer rainfall is expected to decrease by around 15%. And winter rainfall is expected to rise by 6%. But what I think is kind of most staggering, and something that I didn't realise initially, is that sea level is projected to rise by 22 centimetres, you know, and lots of Wales is actually very coastal. And that is actually probably going to cause some displacement of people. I'm not really hearing that being talked about very much. And I'm not it doesn't seem like we're planning that in our where populations live. But I think what's really important to remember is that climate change will affect all of us. But just like we saw in the coronavirus pandemic, it will probably have a bigger effect on certain populations. So our most vulnerable populations the most. So, for example, children and young people. I'm a paediatrician, and I know that children and young people are increasingly experiencing climate anxiety, which is one of the health and well-being impacts of climate change. And also the health and well-being impacts of climate change will affect them more. Or it will affect those who are socioeconomically deprived. So you are more likely to live in an area with high air pollution. You know, you often see lots of houses along busy roads. And you know that you're more likely to live in that sort of area if you're economically deprived. And then people with disabilities and long-term health conditions are more likely to be affected by the health impacts, and also older people as well. And we talked about kind of heat waves and things, and our hospitals are not well designed for coping with the impacts of climate change. So I've worked in hospitals over the summer, and you know, it's really difficult to keep children hydrated, to keep them at a normal temperature sometimes, and that's something that we really need to urgently look into.
Thank you both. You've both given us lots to think about, and really helped to highlight and identify why this is, you know, such a big problem, and why it's so important and so relevant as well to us all as healthcare professionals and people who work in the NHS. Stacey, did you want to?
Yeah, so I just wondered if you wanted me to tell you a little bit more specifically about the environmental impact of the NHS in Wales.
Yep, that would be really helpful.
Thank you. So the Welsh Government did a report, I think it was about 2018-19, and they looked at the carbon footprint, which is one way of measuring the environmental impact. There are other environmental impacts, like plastic pollution and air pollution and things, but they measured the carbon footprint of being over 1 million tonnes of carbon dioxide equivalents, which is a huge amount. And I was actually at a talk on Tuesday by one of the ministers, and half of the Welsh Government budget is on health and social care. And I know that doesn't necessarily equate to carbon, but yeah, it just gives you an idea of quite how much of our resources are going into health and social care. And I'm not sure if it would be useful just to kind of think about how it's made up, because often when people think about the carbon footprint of the NHS, they think about, oh, it must be in the buildings, you know, or the energy, you know, the heating, that sort of thing. But actually, they've looked at kind of how it's made up. Most of the carbon footprint is medicines, medical equipment, and the other supply chains, and that's what we as clinicians are involved with. And it's a multidisciplinary people who are involved with prescribing medicines, using medical equipment, and then 10% is buildings energy, 5% is kind of water and waste, and then you've got about 5% is anaesthetic gases and metered dose inhalers. And then around 9% is the NHS fleet travel and patient travel. And then you've got your around 4% is the staff commute. So it's, you know, it's made up of lots of different parts. So if we want to tackle this, we really need to involve clinicians in this, as well as the multidisciplinary team. You know, it involves everybody in who works for the health and care service. And we can't just keep this in the estates department, because it involves many more people than work in that department.
Absolutely, Stacey. Really staggering numbers that you've mentioned there. And I think I just wanted to bring in the Lancet quote at this point, where they described climate change as the greatest global health threat of the 21st century, but also that it could be the greatest global health opportunity of the 21st century. And I think you've already maybe started to sort of allude to that a little bit with, you know, kind of thinking about where we could make changes and improvements. And maybe that's what we could talk a little bit more about now is, you know, what is sustainable healthcare? And I think, Stacey, you're going to answer that for us first.
Thank you, Catherine. Yeah, I'd be really happy. There's a huge amount of co-benefits to climate action, and I could talk about that a little bit later. But so what is sustainable healthcare? So sustainable healthcare is about meeting the needs of the populations now, so 2024. But we also need to think about how we will meet the needs of future generations. So, you know, 50, 100, 200 years in the future, or even more. And a really good way that I like to think about how we might be able to do that, this is to really think about sustainable value. And we might well have heard about value-based healthcare. So we want to have high quality care, and we want to improve and have really good outcomes for our patients and our population. But that needs to be sustainable. And we often think about it being financially sustainable. And of course, it needs to be financially sustainable. We have finite resources, but it also needs to be environmentally sustainable. And also, we want to be adding social value at every opportunity. So making it work for the staff who work in the system, making it matter to patient, making it be patient-centered. Along the way as well. And a way to think about sustainable healthcare is to think about the principles of sustainable healthcare. So the main and most important one is prevention. So that's all about promoting health and preventing disease by tackling the causes of illnesses and inequalities. And, you know, we do have a lot of prevention work going on in Wales, but there needs to be a huge, bigger investment and look into that. We're seeing a huge increase in demand from our population, and health and care has to pick up that demand. But we really need to work out how we're going to turn off the tap, how are we going to keep our populations healthy, how are we going to empower them to be able to look after their own health, and look after their health as a community. So that comes into the second principle of sustainable healthcare. So that's all about empowering patients to take a greater role in managing their own health and healthcare. So, you know, things like nutrition, exercise, healthy communities, access to green space, knowing how to manage your, if you have a long-term health condition, knowing how to manage that yourself, knowing when to access healthcare, those sorts of things. And then the third principle of sustainable healthcare is lean service delivery. So we want to minimise waste wherever possible. We want to streamline our care pathways. And we often see waste in our system. So that can be staff time wastage of resources. And so that, you know, we want to really increase efficiency. And then low carbon alternatives. That's all about prioritising treatments and technologies with a lower environmental impact. So, for example, a really good example is the inhalers. So some of the inhalers have a really high global warming potential, and they contain a propellant. But then there are inhalers that for most people will have the same patient outcomes, but they don't contain that propellant, and they have over half of the carbon footprint, or even less than that. And so that would be an example of a low carbon alternative, but there's many examples. And then if we want to have high quality care, and we want to have high quality health, but we want to reduce carbon, we can either do that by reducing the activity. So that comes into the principles that I mentioned. So prevention, patient empowerment and lean pathways, or we reduce the carbon intensity of what we do. And that comes into using lower carbon alternatives and also using our resources in a different way. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey. That's a really beautifully described and explained, and just seems to make so much sense as well. You know, reducing demand on healthcare by focusing on prevention, you know, it's quite a simple idea, suggestion, but, you know, would just be hugely helpful. And as you said already, something that there are so many efforts to try and do, but you know, perhaps we can focus on even more in the future. And Fee, did you want to add anything about how we can make healthcare delivery more sustainable?
Yeah, I think that it's creating a lens for not just staff, but also patients to start looking through. This is not going to happen overnight. This is, you know, a relatively, you know, it's a concept that we should have been doing 30 years ago, but it's really quite new to us all now. But whether you work it on an individual, you know, patient interface level within primary or secondary care, whether you work in public health or global health, or whether all of these massive roles are completely influenced by planetary health. So it's going back to a question I answered in a couple of questions ago about what are our biggest impacts. So healthcare provides about 20% of our health. We know that the rest is our social determinants and environmental determinants. So unless we all have that planetary health lens and develop our systems and structures with that planetary health lens, then no matter how hard we try with those individuals, we're never going to get the greatest impact. I hope that makes sense. So we have a responsibility as anchor institutions to embed that planetary health lens into everything we do. And as an anchor institution, we need to do that and try and sort of, you know, uplift those communities around us. I think the biggest thing that I've really solidified in my mind over working in this area for the last sort of 5 years is that we talk about decarbonisation and decarbonisation is equivocal with the term mitigation. We can't decarbonise without, and we can't mitigate without actually changing the way we do things, which is the adaptation piece. So as staff, as patients, as people, as communities, as a global society, we'll only decarbonise if we adapt. And to do that, we need huge behavioural changes, and that's going to take time. And we need to do that in the NHS from a staff perspective, but also as a patient perspective. So yeah, the more we can grow an understanding of what sustainable healthcare is, the more we can do this together. And actually we can't do it without one another. So yeah, that's been my biggest lesson over the last 5 years. And then to really create the change, obviously we need the policy level. You know, we need the governmental policy level. We need sustainable action plans within our own healthcare organisations, and you need that governance. But we also need everyone within the system to feel empowered to take part, and that's the responsibility of those organisations and government to empower them.
Yes, and you know, that's hugely important and really highlights some of those key points. But I love that idea of just using this as a lens, and you know, it just not keeping it as a separate thing to the one side, but actually really applying these four principles across all of healthcare and embedding it everywhere within the NHS. So thank you. I wanted to ask you both, and this is going to be something that I ask everybody across the podcast series, what one thing would you want everyone to know about sustainability? Sophie, I'll come to you first this time.
Well, the biggest thing that I sort of repeat repeatedly is in 2019, the Lancet Countdown released their annual report. The Lancet Countdown has been, you know, so it's an international journal, but it's been following the impacts of climate change on health since the Paris Agreement in 2016. And in 2019, they published their report, and they published three key points. And one was like, the life of every child born today will be profoundly affected by climate change. A key point two was something like, we can change the life of every child born today if we actually do stuff. And then key point three was that it's going to take the work of every single person on this planet, we're probably at 9 billion people now, to profoundly improve the life of every child born today. So for me, that means that this is work for everybody. Everyone has a place here. Don't feel left out, get involved. No matter how small, everyone needs to be involved. It can't be done by 20 people at the top of the ladder. So yes, we need policy, really important. We need action plans, but we also need everybody in the system to feel that they can do something and connect together. Thanks, Gab.
So everybody has their part to play. Very true. And Stacey, what would be your one thing?
Oh, it's so interesting how Fee and I often think in a similar way, because that is something I wanted to reiterate, really. And in my kind of educational roles that I really love, I've been involved with educating lots of different people across the health and care system, you know, internationally, actually. And we've always been able to find something that they can do and they can change and they can be involved with and they can influence. I've yet to find anybody who hasn't been able to find something that actually they can find a lot of joy in, and it can actually make a difference to their lives. And I certainly find that doing this work makes a difference in a positive way to my life most of the time. So yes, I want everyone to know that they have the power to make a difference and to make a change. And that sometimes does involve having conversations, making connections with people, and talking about it, as well as problem solving and working out how to change and how to get other people on board as well. You know, this is a ripple, a wave, isn't it? And we need everybody involved. Like Fiona said, there's no point just a few people writing really great strategies. We need to be able to all be part of this.
I love that. Thank you for answering that so well. And there's a climate action for everybody. So we've talked about what sustainable healthcare is, and I want to think a bit more about maybe some of the projects that you've been involved in and projects that you've seen, and you know, maybe letting our listeners know as well what difference those projects made and that you saw, you know, what changes came about that were positive.
So I think one of the biggest projects I got involved in really early on was through the Future Theatre Solution work. You know, I was a consultant anaesthetist, but when you're in training, you go through the system, you think know everything about your bit of the system, but you don't realise that there's this enormous other stuff going on. So getting involved in that Future Theatre Solutions work really gave me a direct springboard, not being in a formal leadership role, other than the natural clinical leadership role within your consultant job, like to the executive team, the senior leadership team within the health board, and I realised that the enormous amount of people working tirelessly every day in operations, estates, planning. Oh, goodness, I'm going to miss so many people out. But, you know, it's so many of us involved to keep the system ticking every day. And made me understand how enormous it is, how much you really need to reach out to people within the system, be able to communicate with them in order to create some change. And we all speak such different languages, depending on, you know, our backgrounds, whether you're clinical, your finance, your ops. We've just grown up speaking different languages, and it's how do we all communicate this subject of climate smart healthcare, sustainable healthcare together and move forwards on it. So one of the biggest things I did then after doing that was realizing that, you know, I trained across Wales, I knew lots of people, we had issues within anaesthesia, we needed to try and, you know, create healthcare without harm within my own clinical space. So I reached out to colleagues across Wales with some fellow other trainees at the time, and we developed a Welsh Anaesthetic Green Network, which has been thriving since 2019. And it's just a really good example of just like pulling across the system can create such amazing changes. And then recognizing that, yes, you need these big networks, you need to connect up to, you know, to the executive team, the corporate side of the organization. But you also need that real grassroots work. And even if you're doing the smallest project, so there's a fantastic example of a fantastic trainee at the minute. And all we're looking at the end of an operation, we suck out any secretions from a patient's airway using this plastic Yanka sucker and a couple of meters of plastic tubing. That might sound a bit gross. But we can take that piece of tubing and suction and then take it with the patient into recovery. It's theirs, we've used it in their mouth, it's not going to affect anyone else. And simply by doing that one thing, across even just Cardiff and Vale, it saves about £15,000 a year and about half a ton of plastic waste. So, you know, it's like these nonsense things that we just don't do that we need to start really looking at and doing. But even to create that one project, you still have multiple stakeholders within that space you need to engage with. Recovery need to be happy, anaesthesia need to be aware, the operation development, you know, practitioners need to be aware, our clinical needs need to be informed, we need to make sure infection prevention control are happy, you know, so you need to reach out beyond your immediate sphere, even for what seems the smallest project. And then to create real impact, you need to take that out and embed that in every hospital that provides anaesthesia in Wales. So then you can create these massive changes and reach out beyond and make sure everyone in England's doing it, the UK's doing it, etc., and then come back in again and start doing your next project. So yeah, it's all about connecting, it's all about networks and knowing, having really easy access to the right people that will just say, yeah, let's do this.
And that just really shows how, you know, what starts as quite a small project actually can have such huge cost savings and such a positive environmental impact as well, and the savings that could be made there, but also the potential for these things to then be rolled out across the whole of Wales and make even bigger impacts. So thank you for telling us about that. And Stacey, is there a project that you'd like to share?
Thank you, Catherine. There's just so many projects and I've been involved with talking to lots of different people who've done lots of different projects, and it's pretty endless actually. It affects, you know, lots of different systems. But I suppose the projects that are most close to my heart are actually some of the educational projects. You don't often think about education as being a project, I suppose. But a lot of my work has been around education. And I've supervised lots of medical students doing SSC projects, which is when they've got about 6 weeks to kind of look into a topic in more detail. I think I've probably supervised about 8 of them now over the last few years. They've all done very different things. Some of them have been educational projects. Some of them have been looking at different systems and how to change them from a sustainability point of view. And that's been really wonderful to be able to empower the next generation of doctors, you know, before they even come into the system, to actually be experts in how to do this. And it's been really wonderful to see their progression, and they've gone on to work as foundation doctors and actually do this as part of their job. I've had a medical student do a global and public health intercalated degree. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is a sustainable quality improvement forums. That's really looking to almost teach about sustainable quality improvement, but be able to coach people and to help them to work through their projects. And I really enjoy doing that. And that's made a huge difference. I usually do a little questionnaire before and after doing a teaching session. And I often ask people, how empowered do you feel to act on the climate emergency at the moment? And I usually ask them afterwards. And every single teaching session, there's always been a shift to feeling more empowered to act after a session that I've delivered. But I really wanted to bring in something that is really actually quite difficult to measure, and I probably need to get better at it, but I often think sometimes it's just better to do it, and that's around systems convening. So Fiona's mentioned it, and we've probably mentioned it during this podcast, and that's all about bringing different people together, and it's often across boundaries that you wouldn't necessarily usually interact with on a day-to-day basis. And that's what I've realised that sustainable healthcare needs, is that, you know, if you're doing a project, you often, like Fiona says, need to speak to people who are outside of your department, perhaps even in a different place, a different specialty, and how having conversations, I've had a lot of different conversations with a huge range of people across Wales and beyond, and how that can actually influence change. So, for example, we were able to develop a Value in Health Fellowship, which was able to give somebody some time in order to look at how we might be able to embed sustainable healthcare principles and sustainable value into Value in Health in Wales. I've also been involved with helping a Spheric Scholar Scheme, which again was around coaching a multidisciplinary group of people to do a quality improvement project. And that involved a lot of systems convening as well. But we must not forget to mention before this the development of our Wales-wide Greenhouse Wales network. So that's something that Fiona and I have been hugely involved with, and it's been a very very challenging at times to make it happen. But that's involved what we call connect, learn and transform. So connecting people, as Fiona's mentioned, in green groups, in the different health boards and trusts in Wales, but then also in speciality groups and trying to help people along and connect them together. And we have Connect Learn. So we've developed a website which has got lots of different resources for sustainable healthcare, and that's cross-disciplinary resources, and then transform. So we're talking about case studies. So that's all about trying to put examples of case studies on the website, so that you can, you know, get inspiration, maybe get involved with that project, or get or spread that project perhaps in your area. And yeah, that's what we would like to develop further in the future, is to develop that, the network, the resources for education, because education is a really a powerful tool, and I think we need to invest more in the education and sustainable healthcare across Wales, because it really does make a huge difference. And then be able to share more case studies across Wales, so that we can spread and scale this at pace. This is the decade that we need to make action. This is the most important decade, because after this decade, things may well be, and we might not be able to come back from it, basically. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, the time to act is now, and I'm sure that many listeners will go away and have a look at the Green Health Wales website, having heard you talked about it, and hopefully look at some of the resources that are on there, and hopefully get, you know, more involved if they're not already involved already. Because, you know, as you said, there's a climate action for everybody, and we can all play our part. This, yeah, like I said, so many examples of different projects, and it was so interesting hearing about those ones that you've mentioned today. I'd love to hear more about them. I'm sure we could spend most of the day, if not a week, discussing all these different things, and I would very much enjoy that. But sadly, we're going to have to come to an end. But I just really wanted, before we say goodbye, I wanted you to maybe leave our listeners with one hope that you have for the future.
I remember, Catherine, someone asked me once, like, if I had a magic wand and I had three wishes, you know, with regards to sustainable healthcare, or, you know, what would they be? And I said, I think, like, for one, that everyone would wake up tomorrow, like, fully knowledgeable about the climate and ecological emergency. Two, something like, they'd wake up fully carbon, in inverted commas. Like I say, it's not about carbon, there's so many other factors, at least 20 we can measure environmental impacts. Fully knowledgeable on it. It's just like, you know, it's like a little, like, I don't know, implant we've had put in our heads. And then the will to want to do it and join together, you know. So it's kind of, I suppose my biggest thing is that, have that sort of that dream that actually people just want to be really compassionate about this and really connect and start talking about it. It's real. We need to face it. And actually, by coming together, provide so much hope. You know, there's all sorts of books out there on active hope and what have you, and it's so true. But I can't. I'm past thinking about all the negatives. There's so many negatives in our world at the minute. So you can either get like brought down by it, or you can just connect with some really incredible people, bring some joy into your immediate friends and family and colleague lives, and get on and do some good stuff, and the ripple effect will be there.
Thank you.
Catherine, I would say that my hope for the future is that people can become reconnected. So reconnected with themselves, their authentic and true selves, and reconnected with our planet and nature. I think, you know, if we could do that, then the world would be a much better place.
Thank you both. That's two very powerful and hopeful answers. So on that note, I want to thank you both again for giving up your time to join me today in this first episode. And also thank you again for all the work that you're doing in this area.
Thank you for listening to this first episode of Climate Smart Conversations. And thank you again to our two guest speakers, Stacey and Fiona. If you enjoyed this episode, then please do look out for episode 2, which will be coming soon. Diolch yn fawr.